Well, we have a special message for you this morning. We're pressing pause on our series, Between the Lines, for just 1 week. We will get back to it next week. But we have a special message for you this morning with Philip and Robin Serez. And you know, over this month, we've been exploring stories of God's people in the Old Testament. And now we're going to hear the story of one of our own. So Philip and Robin are going to make their way up here. And they are longtime members of our church. They serve as missionaries with our denomination's missions agency, Multiply. I know many of you are familiar with them and know them well. They're good friends of Adam and I and have had such a profound impact on mine and Adam's life and ministry. And I know a lot of you would say the same in your own journeys with Jesus. And if you don't know this couple and this family, they are a couple that have truly built their lives on God's love. And so when the storms come, he keeps them standing. And they're going to minister to us this morning as they share their journey in this season. We pray it'll be an encouragement to you, drawing you closer to Jesus. I'm just going to pray for you guys. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Philip and Robin up to you again this morning. Pray for your anointing on them, that your spirit would speak to them, through them, to us this morning. Father, we thank you for the ministry that you have given them for decades, calling people into mission, sending us out, leading people to surrender our lives more and more to Jesus. And your ministry that you've given them continues even in this season, even as it looks different. And so we thank you for the message that they have for us this morning as they continue to look to you, walking in faith in this season. We offer this time to you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys so much for sharing this morning.
Well, nothing like that song before speaking, but it's really, really good to be with you this morning. We're not often at the main site because our local place of worship is the Kitchener site of WMB Church, and it was a real joy to be able to share with them last week.
Move the iPad stand back, he's trying to pass you.
Oh. Pardon me, a little traffic congestion here up at the front. Don't mind us. Philip never could keep still, and now he. This is the analog version, but the digital is out there, and please, you know, be careful when you're talking to him after church today. He has a need for speed. Back to the introduction. Philip and I, for those of you who don't know us, yes, serve with Multiply, our global mission agency with this denomination. It's been such a joy over the years to partner with you and the churches around our region in Eastern Canada to see the world know Jesus. Now, this morning, our method of sharing is a little different because although it's my voice you'll hear, Philip has done a lot of the writing of this presentation we want to give to you today. And so I'll sort of, you know, I'm not going to like change voices or anything, but I'll try and clarify when it's me and when it's Philip. We always joke that for the first time in his life, Philip has had to actually write out what he's going to say. And it's so good for our marriage that he has to trust me to say what he wrote. So here's Philip. We want to testify to joy this morning and how we have been experiencing it in the middle of difficult times. Grief, pain, and sorrow are real, but so is God, who generates a joy in the hearts of believers that transcends circumstances and sustains through hardship. We've been learning this since I was diagnosed with ALS 2 years ago. I've lost my speaking voice and most of the use and strength in my hands, arms, and legs. Every month, there's something to mourn, an ability, a pastime, a dream. ALS is a degenerative disease where the brain gradually stops communicating with the muscles. There's no cure. Eventually, the muscles that control breathing stop functioning, unless God intervenes and heals me, which we are full of faith for him to do. Amen. Amen. And now, Robin. It's been a journey that not only impacts us, but also our kids, our parents, our siblings, our community. Our young adult kids have had to journey through who they really believe God is and discover the Father who's powerfully present, but allows hard things and is still the God who is love. The prayers of this community and others have made a profound difference in how we're journeying together towards and with Jesus, and we can't thank you enough. When I say we feel the depth, the weight, the heft of your prayers, I am being completely honest. Thank you. And I just want to add, please don't make the assumption this morning that because we can stand up and testify today, that it's easy or that we have it all together. Just ask our kids, or don't ask our kids. This is hard. We're heartbroken. And I don't apologize for my tears because they're soft and they're kind of how I can let the grief leak out. And we struggle. But please 100% assume that Psalm 46 is true. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Please 100% assume that, because that's what we're discovering. So we want to anchor our time this morning in a premise and a promise. Here's the premise, and it comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. We are hidden with Christ in God. That's where all our hope and joy comes from this place, from this position of being tucked into the powerful presence of God. And Paul says, that's our real life. Your real life. This is how God the Father cares for his children. Shortly after Philip's diagnosis, I was sitting at the piano and a little song formed in my heart out of that scripture. I'm not singing it, but I'm going to say the words. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am hidden with Christ in God. With Christ in God. You surround me. You surround me. You surround me all the days of my life. I am hidden with Christ in God. With Christ in God. And my heart was brought to a place of peace. And this truth isn't just for us, right? It's the gift for all believers, all who follow Jesus. So this isn't the story of Philip and Robin this morning. It really is the story of God, who he is and how he loves his children through the highest highs and the lowest lows. And in that safe place, there is joy. Discovering joy. Philip says, since the beginning of this crisis, we have been surprised by joy. Sometimes we look at each other, amazed. Why do we have all this joy? It's not like we're thrilled or happy about our circumstance. But alongside the weighty grief of a life-ending disease, there are these pulsing embers of joy glowing deep within, getting stronger and stronger. We wonder, how is God doing this? It's so counterintuitive. C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. Well, we've heard God shouting, over here, I am here, which leads to the promise. We don't suffer alone. God is with us, Emmanuel. Instead of removing pain from life's equation, he adds a variable, his presence. And his presence brings joy. This is a powerful reality for us in the story we're living. The season isn't easy. We carry this deep sadness, but we don't carry it alone. The grief of losing years with my family is gut-wrenching, but his peace overrides. I may never reach the milestones in mission I had hoped for, but I don't despair. I am hidden with Christ in God. He surrounds me. In fact, that's it. When we trust God, there's no despair. When we have surrendered our lives to Jesus, we still experience grief and sadness. But without despair, they've lost their sting. Jesus said in John 14, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I've been discovering that God's companionship is so much more palpable when it's all you have left. I call it the terrifying delight of losing everything. The trauma of this disease has left me with only the capacity to collapse into the arms of my Heavenly Father and ask myself, is it enough? Enough to satisfy? Enough to fill my identity? Enough to fuel my hope? Enough to direct my rest? I can't perform for his attention. I can't be strong for his approval. I have nothing left to bargain with. Yet I hear his voice, his invitation from Isaiah 55. Come, Philip. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, no more strength, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. I'm thankful that even if everything else is lost, we're left with the love and acceptance of the Father. It is untouchable. He's with us. He knows just what we need, and he wants to provide it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for his Spirit tells me so. Amen. Paul describes it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the one who has cascaded his light into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. For God who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the one who has cascaded his light into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. This verse says that knowing God through Jesus is the light in our darkness. It's as powerful and as disruptive as creation was. It's a fountain of hope filling our souls, overwhelming life's cruelest circumstances with his love. When the knowledge of God is embedded in us through Jesus, our hearts are filled with trust and courage because we're hidden with Christ in God. Losing joy. But let's face it, this isn't always our experience. And for so many reasons. Maybe our relationship with God has lots of questions and we're struggling with doubt. Or the voices of culture around us and the distractions that we escape to are crowding out his voice. Or we're so busy managing our situations that we forget that God is right here wanting to fill us with his strength and his light. There are definitely days when I just put my head down and do the work it takes to take care of Philip, And then at the end of the day, I need to confess, oh, Jesus, I forgot the resourcing you wanted to give me. I forgot that as I'm caregiving for Philip, you're caregiving for me. And when I walk that road, I'm ending the day with the wrong kind of tired. You may never have experienced it. You know, the grumpy, impatient, all about me tired. I could be the only one. As opposed to that, you know, the glorious tired after you like spring cleaned your house or helped a friend move and you're like, oh yeah, this was good. You like that? Or maybe we're stuck in sin. There are broken patterns in our lives that we haven't confessed to Jesus. And we haven't experienced that sweet, sweet gift of forgiveness. Living with all our brokenness on our backs makes it hard to experience joy. It's heavy. And maybe we've lost joy because we can't imagine God would let this happen to us. And instead, we find ourselves offended. And we blame God rather than trusting him. Why me? Philip says, where do we get the idea that we can avoid trouble and sorrow? Why are we shocked or irate when it comes to us? How can we be so blind to the depth of human suffering throughout history and all around us, to believers and non-believers alike, and think we get a pass? Suffering is everywhere. Before this disease, I was a part of a sort of privileged elite, the club that knows little of suffering and has lived a pretty charmed life. This left me naive and blind to the pain all around me. I have had to confess that. Jesus declares hard times will be our reality and promises to bring peace, courage, and hope. John 16:33, for in this unbelieving world you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous. And I like the translation that says, but take heart, for I have conquered the world. If this is true, how do we have the audacity to put God on trial for every hurt or threaten to disavow his very existence every time a crisis comes? When we choose to blame God rather than trust him, it prevents joy from germinating in our hearts. Let's repent of a weak faith that's quick to blame and slow to trust. Jesus has overcome this world's pain, and he wants to share his peace with us and through us. He can carry our grief and sorrows because by his wounds we're healed. It's right out of Isaiah 53. And Philip continues, there's another temptation that's definitely a joy killer, choosing to be the victim. The fight to become a victim is more real than you can imagine. The lure of being the victim shows up in 1,000 temptations to blame God, envy others, especially when they talk about plans and future dreams, and even to leverage the disease for attention and favors. This is a dangerous path that bonds us with the illness and distances us from God's grace and power and joy. So early on, I had to do business with God about this. And with his help, I rejected it and declared the truth, which I still declare today. And I declared it, I think you declared it first on this platform, shortly after the diagnosis. I may have ALS, but ALS does not have me. It does not define me. I will not subjugate myself to it in any way. And Robin, I will add, because choosing to be a victim means choosing a false identity instead of the joy of the Lord. And when we do that, our lives reflect that choice. It seems like the doors to comfort, blessing, encouragement, and joy close. But when we live with our identity rooted in Jesus, it's powerful. We develop huge spiritual muscles. And as I see Philip's muscles deteriorate as they are no longer being able to work, the physical ones, I see these spiritual muscles getting a massive workout. And it especially affects how we pray. We don't pray as victims. We pray with confidence and expectation because we know who we are and we know who we belong to. We pray with freedom to trust God's plan, purpose, and timing no matter what. We pray as Jesus taught, deliver us from the evil one. We push back the darkness. We declare Christ's authority over the devil, over ALS, over Philip's body, even over modern medicine. Everything submits to him and his plan. Amen. Sustaining joy. Philip says, the Psalms have helped me enormously to remain in the truth that I'm hidden with Christ in God. I stand on the foundations of my identity of being redeemed by Jesus, adopted by Father God, and resuscitated by the Holy Spirit. This is the source of everything. We're learning on this journey where to find hope, strength, and joy, where to find life and to discover real life. My usual sources are rapidly failing, disappearing actually. I've lost the muscles to embrace the present and the time to dream about the future. Most of the things that excited me in the past can't help me now. Leisure, sport, travel, personal ambition have all gone bankrupt. So where do I invest? Paul calls us to shift our dependency from what's temporal to what is eternal, to engage what is unseen rather than what is seen. From 2 Corinthians 4 again. So no wonder we don't give up, for even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is being renewed every single day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. So we're finding life where God is. Worshiping and praying together as a family is life-giving. Vulnerable, transparent friendships build us up. Even testifying today to the goodness of God here with you, it builds our faith, because we say out loud in front of people who are going to be keeping us accountable that this is true. So hold us accountable. We choose to live life from all that is true in this unseen realm, our redeemedness. We're adopted and loved by Father God. Our spirits are spiritually connected to God's spirit, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're God's children. That's Romans 8:16. Well, there's so much more in this 2 Corinthians chapter 4 passage that we've pulled a number of thoughts from. Philip has been sitting with that quite a lot over this last year. So if you're looking for a deep dive, go there. But be warned, Paul is giving a masterclass with some radical claims. This is the passage that explains how we carry the presence of God in common, weak, even cracked jars of clay. Verse 7 says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's, not ours. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies, so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. Now, I've always known this, says Philip, that God overrides our weakness. but I never considered that it was his intention to shine through our brokenness. Could this be how God chooses to reveal himself to the world? Not through our success or health, but through suffering, our struggle, even our decaying bodies. Therefore, reclassifying suffering for the believer. So our weakness doesn't disqualify us. It qualifies us. Tragedy doesn't prove there is no God. Rather, it becomes an opportunity for him to demonstrate his amazing grace for everyone to see. Persecution isn't an unfortunate consequence of believing, but rather God's venue for our witness. Paul says, we continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So I guess that premise of being hidden in Christ is about being cared for, not out of sight or out of play. And from me, from Robin, as Philip has been taking this deep dive, I've been rediscovering who God is. It may sound strange after lots of years of following him, but he has gotten bigger and bigger in these last 2 years. I'm blown away by his uncreatedness, his I was before everything, I will be after everything, his eternal presence and reach. As I sit with this truth, I can't help but heave a soul deep sigh of relief that God is more than up to the task of carrying us. No matter what the finish line looks like on earth, he's up to the task of carrying us all the way. I've also been deeply encouraged that God's faithful to all the yeses that he's called me to over the years. They've given me roots of faith that have laid my foundation on solid rock. The storms have come, and God's discipleship in my life over the years has borne fruit. He's done what he said he would do. Teach me his ways so that I would follow in his paths. I mean, I've said, you know, probably 8 no's to every one yes. But he has jumped on those yeses and deepened my trust, deepened my faith, deepened my walk so that when the storm hit, I didn't suddenly have to start figuring out who he is. We've already had a sweet journey together because I got to know him a long time ago and he wooed me into relationship. And because he does what he says he'll do, he's been changing me, slowly but surely, transforming me into his kid. We have a long way to go. But wow, those yeses have been proven true. He's been faithful to me. Colossians 3 again, but this time the full verse around that little phrase, hidden with Christ in God. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. That's why we're here this morning. We want Christ to be revealed to the whole world so that we will all share in his glory. We want everyone in the whole world to know that God is real and true and that he is the joy giver regardless of our circumstances. We want to encourage ourselves and everyone else to redirect our focus on the eternal story, the eternal truth that God has given us new life and new hope and new joy through his son Jesus. And that he doesn't just show up in the hard times, but he knows the way through them, and he promises to go with us and prove himself faithful. And joy is here. It's amazing. Joy for the whole world. Where are you today? As the worship team comes up and creates some reflection space for us, I want to invite us to spend some time with God. We have a few questions just to stir maybe some of the thoughts and feelings that are sitting in you and maybe have been processed, maybe not. But we trust that God is stirring some invitations today, as he's been inviting us. What have I blamed God for? Am I stuck with a weight of disappointment or even accusation that's isolating me from joy? Let's repent of pride and ask God to renew our faith and trust in him. Invite us all to take a moment and ask God that question. Am I blaming you for something? Is that setting up a barrier for me experiencing the gift of your healing in my heart and life? And if you sense God saying, yep, ask him about it, and let's take some time now to ask his forgiveness and invite him to bring healing. Let's take some moments together. Have I bonded with a false identity and preferred the role of victim? What's my faith statement? I may have or be experiencing blank, but blank doesn't have me. And finally, what would it practically look like for me to shift dependency away from the seen and temporal, from all the stuff right around me, and find life in the unseen and eternal, in the spiritual truth, with eyes fixed on Jesus and not on all the things around me? Let's bring that to God. What is stealing my time, my focus, my attention, Father, and stopping me from fixing my eyes on Jesus and living for an eternal story, a much bigger forever story that brings you glory? Father, for the conversations that you've started with us today, or perhaps the conversations we haven't felt confident to start yet, I pray that you would, because you love us, stir that uncomfortable feeling of, wow, I need to do some business with you, God, because it always leads to life, to hope, to forgiveness, to freedom. So, Father, where you've stirred things up today about our identity, about who we blame when things go tough, about how much attention is poured out on the immediate management of our moments, oh God, Lead us to new and fresh places. Lead us to life. Lead us to discover how powerfully you are working and bringing to life the truth that is in your word already and that you continue to speak over us. For you are our refuge, you're our strength, you're our very present help in times of trouble. And you invite us to live our real life hidden with you, Jesus, in God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for ministering to us. And I'd like to just do something this morning where we continue to minister to one another. And so I want to take a moment to minister to you guys. And then I want to open things up for you to be ministered to as well. But we just want to open up space. We want to be obedient to the scriptures. And there's a few passages that came to mind. In the book of James, it says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray to each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Folks, we want to be obedient to God's word this morning. And so we want to minister to you guys. And so I'm asking our leadership board, our staff, those who function in an elder role, if they would come to the front this morning. Do you know one of the names that they used in the Old Testament for God? Many of us are familiar with the name Jehovah. But they would call him Jehovah Rapha. And what Jehovah Rapha means is the Lord who heals. And so this is an overwhelming theme in the scriptures. And so folks, will you join us and just reach a hand out to Philip and to Robin? I happen to have brought some oil. Now, if we were doing this Old Testament, I'd pour a whole bucket of oil over you. Father, we anoint Philip with oil this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you so much for Philip and Robin and the Serez family and the way in which you use them each and every day to minister to us, to preach your word, to show the hope and the faith that they have in the midst of suffering. Father, we believe that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And so we pray, Lord, that is the great physician that you would heal Phil's body, that you would bring comfort and peace and joy and an astounding faith to him and his family, Lord, that they would trust in you, that they would continue to trust in you. Make his body whole. Father, we believe by the presence of your Holy Spirit living in each of us, that you are the God who heals. So, Father, we lift them up to you. We give you all the praise and all the glory this morning as your Holy Spirit ministers to us. Lift them up, bring them joy, cover them in peace, and may your physician's hand touch his body and his soul. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, folks, we want to take a little bit of time to invite you as well. And so, again, if you need to leave, that's fine. That's good. Go out, have coffee as we transition into music. But if you would like to be prayed for, I'm going to ask the prayer ushers to come up again. If you're willing to serve, we've got a whole staff team here that are willing to spend some time with you, to pray with you. If you know somebody who needs healing, if you know somebody who just needs to experience some joy and some peace, but they're not here, then you can come up on their behalf. And I know that coming up to the front here is not always comfortable, but folks, that's the point. That's the point, is that we step out in faith and that brothers and sisters come together in Christ and that we confess our sins, that we pray for one another. So folks, we want to offer that ministry to you this morning. The scriptures say that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so if you feel so nudged, will you join us up here? Prayer ushers, you can come now, and staff and even Serez's, you can come and minister to people. And let's just, as we transition into song, spend some time in prayer. If you want to be anointed with oil, I'm happy to do that for you this morning. For those who don't need to come to the front, that's fine. You can continue to worship with us. And for those who want to leave, by all means, do that. Can we do that this morning, folks? Will you stand?